My dearest siblings, grace and peace to you from God in whom we live and move and have our being. Amen. Now, we've all seen it. We've all walked into that restaurant and looked over at a table nearby, and every single person at that table is sitting there with their phones out, typing away with their thumbs, not looking at each other or talking to each other. This has become such a common image, and I've heard a lot of the commentary about it and the lament that this is what is happening to these shared spaces that we have. About 3 years ago, Livia and I went to Europe, and part of that trip was going to Paris. And I remember we got into Paris at nighttime, and we were tired, but we thought, you know, who cares? And we went to the Louvre and thought, well, it's evening, we'll see what we can. That is the best time to go to the Louvre, by the way. There was nobody there, and we were able to see everything we wanted to in that space. Obviously, one of the things I was most excited to see, though, was the Mona Lisa. And so we're walking around, navigating this maze of a museum, trying to find the Mona Lisa. And it's rather quiet. Dusk has set. It's quite beautiful outside. And then we finally get to this room, and there is just this massive crowd of people gathered around the Mona Lisa. And my heart broke when I looked at them, because not a single one of them was facing the Mona Lisa. They were all turned around taking selfies. And Livia and I kind of mustered our way into the crowd. We got through the line, and we got there just to stand and contemplate this mysterious woman. And there were so many people around us who were so obsessed with having these selfies with the Mona Lisa. And I would watch them, and not one of them stood there to contemplate this woman. They took their selfies, and then they walked away so that the world would know they saw the Mona Lisa. But did they really see it? Now, I can talk about this, and I see you all shaking your heads. Ugh, those people and their phones. Research has shown that we are having this addiction to screen time and to technology. Researchers have studied the brain and found that when we are attached to social media and to our phones, that it releases dopamine the same way that narcotics do. And there's something to be said about that. But frankly, I think this usage of technology lends to something else as well, something much deeper, and that is a fear that we all have of the uninhibited silent spaces of our mind and our souls. This space that I would like to call the wilderness of the soul. Now, we might all be able to look at younger folks with their phones and technology and say, what a shame. But we all carry this fear of those silent spaces with us, and we all have our techniques of avoiding it. Today, I want to continue with our Advent series, Beauty in the Darkness. Today we hear about John the Baptist. We're going to be hearing about John the Baptist this week and next week. But today we hear more about this wilderness experience, this man who has retreated into the wilderness of Judea, and people are seeking him out. Typically, when we hear this story and the one of next week, we come with that judgment that John brings. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the wrath to come? But what I want to talk about is that fear that we have of the wilderness. The darkness that we fear to embrace. And that really is where I think the beauty lies for us today. The beauty of the darkness, the beauty of the silent spaces, the beauty of the wilderness of the soul. There's something in this story that I want to note. It's interesting that people are fleeing to this wilderness, but they're doing it to find security. which is an interesting paradox, right? Because the wilderness is a place where people had the least amount of security. It's where they were exposed to the elements. It's where you had almost nothing to distract you, and you weren't only exposed to the elements of the environment around you, but you were exposed to the still silence of your own mind and your own heart. Weird that people flocked to John in this wilderness seeking security, seeking that declaration that their sins were forgiven so that they could go on with their lives. But instead of giving them security, John simply points to Jesus. Now, I want to say that again because I want you all to hear it. Instead of giving them security, John simply pointed them to Jesus. You see, that is the walk of faith for all of us. Anyone who ventures into this church, and I say venture in, you will not find security in this church, because I will never give it to you. But what you will find is Jesus. You see, we chase security. We chase it all the time. We chase it in our own lives. We seek protection from the elements around us. We seek protection from danger. We seek protection that our own bodies and being and that of our families will not be harmed. We seek protection from... good one, Henrik. We seek protection from scarcity, from not having enough food, from not being able to take care of ourselves. We seek that certainty that sustainability provides us. But we also seek security internally as well. And we developed these ways to not feel at risk, both emotionally and spiritually. And the way that we do that for ourselves best is through distraction. If we don't want to go into that risky space of our own emotions or our own souls, the best way to do it is to distract ourselves. And I think that's why we see so many people on their phones, so many people connected to screens, so many people connected to technology. But it's not just that. We distract ourselves with the white noise around us, with routine, with not venturing away from the routines we have created around each and every day of our lives, from working tirelessly, from surrounding ourselves with things that are familiar and comfortable, from putting on this facade of toughness and invincibility. But we also do it spiritually as well. We have created dogmas and doctrines of certainty, and we hide behind them. We've created a faith that provides answers for us instead of a faith that helps us to ask the right questions. We've created a faith that provides us with certainty instead of a faith that helps lead us into the unknown. But you see, folks, this space exists inside each and every one of you. This still, silent space, this wilderness of the soul, this space that we all try to avoid and distract ourselves from going into, because it is in this space that exists in each and every one of us where we store our pain, our wounds, and our fears. But it is also in this very same still silent space where we store our passions and our callings and our yearnings to embrace this life for everything that it is. It is in this very still silent space that love dwells, begging to come out. And if we distract ourselves from this space, then we prevent that passion and that call and that love from being born into this world. So today, I want to invite all of you into this internal wilderness. I want to invite you all into those silent spaces of your own souls and your own minds. And I know that you're going to be afraid of what you might see there and what you might encounter. You might embrace judgment, judgment from yourself, judgment from the world. You might embrace this message that you are not loved. But if you can take the risk and venture into this space, honestly, it is the opposite of all of that. I want to invite you into this still, silent space to find yourself, to see you, all of you. I want to invite you into this space to look at yourself wholly, every aspect. Part of that journey is going into that space and seeing the parts that you're afraid of, the parts you're ashamed of, the parts you've been trying to hide not only from the world, but from yourself as well. It is in the space that all of the wounds and the pain that you have is. It is in the space that you've placed those wounds, that pain, so that you can protect it from coming out and speaking to you, the vulnerability that you've guarded. I want you to see the part that the world has said is inadequate or not good enough or not worthy to be loved. I want to invite you to take the risk and enter this space to see that part of yourself. Because if you don't, then you don't come into contact with the other side of it as well. I want to invite you into this silent space that we all know exists. You've all felt it at some point in your life. Whether you've been trying to hide it or bury it or not acknowledge it for long enough, you know it's there. You've felt it before. And today, I want to invite you into that wilderness. I want you to see the parts that you don't want to see. I want you to realize that you can come through it to the other side and then realize this whole other side that you've been hiding from because you're afraid of what others might see or you're afraid of what God might think about you. But the paradox of it all is that when you get through it, that is the only way that you can truly experience God's unconditional love for you. It is the only space where you can truly discover God's call for you in your life. When you face those parts in the wilderness, just as people came face to face with John, then you face God's judgment. And God's judgment is this, that you are loved, that you have worth, that you are beautiful, just as you are. That the things that you've done that you regret or are ashamed of, God does not condemn you, and it does not destroy you. And that from that still, silent space, you are still called by God to share love with the world. Now, I don't know if it sounds like I'm on drugs or I've lost it. I know there's some of you that are probably resonating with what I'm saying. The truth is, I think we know all of this intellectually. And I think that's one of the other ways we distract ourselves. Intellectually, we can make sense of this. We can say, yes, I know my pain. I know my wounds. I know God's love for me. Yes, I know it. I'm good. I'm going to move on with my day. But that doesn't help you actually experience it. And that doesn't help you actually feel it. Not until you take the risk and enter into that still, silent space of your mind and your soul. That wilderness that exists in all of us. And so what I'm going to do now is take some time, and I'm going to force you into that place. Because that's what a good pastor does, right? I want to start with just a moment of silence. And I want you to be aware if that makes you uncomfortable. If you feel compelled to, I would invite you to close your eyes. And the first thing I want you to do is acknowledge any pain or wounds that you are holding on to. Any harm that has been done to you, any point in your life that exists in that still, silent space. I want you to acknowledge it and feel it. And as an ordained and baptized minister of Christ, I want you to hear me say on behalf of God, you are so loved. And you have survived. I want you to acknowledge that space that says you're not good enough or inadequate. The parts that the world has told you is not enough. Whatever those words may have been in your lifetime, whatever ways you may have internalized them, acknowledge them, face them. And hear me say that God sees you. God sees every aspect of you. The parts that you've been hiding and the parts that you're so proud of, God sees all of it. And you are everything to God. And I want you to acknowledge the mistakes that you've made, the things you don't so readily tell people about. And hear me say that you are not condemned. You are still loved, and you are called. Folks, you have so much to offer, every single one of you. If any of you is thinking, I don't, I'm too old, I don't have enough money, I don't have enough talent, I'm not good enough, you are so called. You have so much to offer, so much love and so much compassion to give. And if you don't know how you are called or what you could do, then I'm going to ask you to risk venturing into that unknown space, taking everything that you just felt. Take all of the pain or inadequacy or the wounds or the mistakes you've made, but also take all of the love that God still gives you and understand that you can risk going into those unknown spaces of life. Just risk it, but take all of that love with you, knowing that God goes with you too. I want you all to enter into that still, silent space, this wilderness of your soul, because this is the space in each and every one of you where God resides. And follow it. By God, everybody, follow it. If you ever do anything from anything that I've ever said in any of my time here at Bethania, let this be it. Just follow it. It won't point you to security. It won't point you to certainty. But it will point you to Jesus. Amen. Please stand as you are able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.